prior to today's text about repentance and the parable of the fig tree, just a few verses earlier, Jesus had spoken to the crowds about their ability to forecast the weather, but their inability to recognize God's season of grace and judgment. Jesus was fulfilling God's work on earth, but the people did not recognize it. Jesus was in his last days before going to the cross. There were end-of-life issues on his mind. And the urgency of being ready. He pleaded with his hearers to repent and turn to God while there was still time. That's what I'd like us to think about today. Life is precious. Life is short. Where are the signs that God is near? The preacher Tom Long tells about the little Georgia country church of his childhood. There was a story that the older folks of the church loved to tell again and again and even have a good laugh over it. It happened on a Sunday night in 1938. The evening prayer service was in full swing when a man named Sam, a member of the church who lived down the road from the church, burst into the prayer meeting, trembling with fear and excitement. Finally catching his breath to speak, he said that Martians were attacking the world in spaceships. Some of them have already landed in New Jersey. The preacher stopped in mid-sentence, and the congregation stared skeptically at Sam. "I swear it's true," he said. And then he added, to give some credibility, "I heard it on the radio." What Sam heard, of course, was Orson Welles' now infamous radio production of War of the Worlds. But no one in the congregation was aware of that at the moment. For all they knew, the world outside was coming to a flaming end. The little congregation looked apprehensively at the preacher, hoping he might have something to say, but he was at a loss for words, never having had a sermon disrupted by an invasion of aliens. And finally, one of the older members, a farmer of modest education, stood up, held on to the pew in front of him with his large, calloused hands, and said, "I spec what Sam's telling us ain't completely true. But if it is true, we're in the right place here in church. Let's go on with the meeting." And so they did. When Jesus was telling the people about God's season, he was interrupted when some people came and told him about a group of Galilean pilgrims whose lives were violently cut short when Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, mixed their blood with the blood of their sacrifices on the altar. Jesus seemed to read their minds when he asked them, "Are you thinking that those murdered Galileans were worse than any other Galileans? Are you thinking that maybe they had it coming to them? That Pontius Pilate was God's instrument of judgment?" Jesus says, "No. Don't even go there." Jesus uses another example of an accident, 18 people killed in a tower collapse. Again, Jesus raised the question that was undoubtedly on their minds. "Do you think they were worse offenders than others living in Jerusalem?" You know, when bad things happen, we are tempted to ask who is to blame. But Jesus says, "No, No, that theory of blame just doesn't hold up in God's scheme of things. Jesus shows little patience for gossipy speculation regarding human suffering and tragedy. Instead, if you notice in the text, he shifts the conversation from speculation about who is to blame to the urgency for everyone to repent. I can imagine the crowd growing rather quiet and fidgety as Jesus looks on their faces from one to another, as if to say, enough about them, what about you? I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish as they did. Now, coming from Jesus, that sounds rather sharp and threatening. This is not your sentimental depiction of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But I think Jesus is getting at the urgency for each and every one of us to turn to God and getting on board with God's kingdom. This is the season. Can you see it? Jesus is not threatening his listeners with more of Pilate's brutality if they don't shape up, or predicting the fall of another tower on the unrepentant. We all know about these tragedies that are part of life. What about the 2,900 who were crushed and killed when the Twin Towers fell? Or the 21 innocent lives snuffed out by a crazed gunman in Sandy Hook? Jesus would say that there is no place for blaming the victims. Or to think that we are better than any one of those who may suffer and die. We're all pretty much in the same boat. It's tempting to divide everyone up into good guys and bad guys. But Jesus is telling us that we all need what God alone can give, the grace of forgiveness freely given to all. In a memorable scene from the film Unforgiven, a young gunslinger is literally shaking in his boots in shock and remorse after having shot a man dead for the first time. In a weak attempt to justify himself, the young man says, "Well, I reckon he had it coming." To this, the grizzled old gunslinger, played by Clint Eastwood, replies, "We all got it coming, kid." And isn't that Jesus' point? We're just wasting time when we point fingers or try to figure out why of tragedies and accidents and superstorms. Who is to blame? The need for repentance is the same for everyone. And we need to act now before the season ends and the offer expires. Imagine some of you use coupons when you go shopping to save a little bit of money. I'm always a little embarrassed when I'm in the checkout line with Una. She usually has a fistful of coupons to hand to the cashier, which usually takes a little extra time to check out. And the people in the line behind us sometimes kind of roll their eyes and give us that look. Why did I pick this line behind the coupon lady? Anyway, one thing I learned about coupons is that they expire. The tone of our text this morning is that repentance that leads to God's kingdom has an expiration date. Time is running out. Know how to interpret God's season of grace. Get in on the saving before it's too late. There's some debate among biblical scholars whether this parable of the fig tree at the end of our reading is a parable of judgment. Cut it down, bearing no fruit. It's just wasting space. Or is it a parable of grace? Give it a little more time. When I was a pastor in Jersey City, I had a little garden beside the church parsonage. One year, someone gave me a little fig tree seedling. It didn't look like much, a barren little stick with a few roots at one end, but I planted it. Weeks passed until in late spring, a few little green leaves appeared. But that was about it for the summer. Fall and winter came. Someone suggested I cover it with leaves to protect it from the winter weather. The next spring I uncovered it. It sprouted a lot of leaves, and it grew to about 6 feet tall. But it had no figs. I thought, let's give it another season. I covered it again during the winter. The next spring I dug around it and I went to Home Depot for a bag of cow manure. Well, lo and behold, the next summer the tree was filled with figs. I was glad that I had given it a little bit more time. That, says Jesus, is like the mercy of God. God never seems to give up on us. He gives us that second chance to start over, to bear fruit. It's not too late, but it's a limited time offer. Know how to interpret God's season in your life and then turn to Him. Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.